and it's a great time of year to take Holy Communion. Let's stand, hold our Bibles up, and let's make our confession of faith unto the Lord. I love this part because we have about 25 or 26% of the people in this church that read their Bible through every year. So let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Tonight I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and as you're being seated, turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. And tonight we're going to celebrate Holy Communion. Holy Communion is a celebration. I love it because we're celebrating so many things. It's a memorial, and it points us back to our deliverance from sin. And that's so wonderful. Think about Christmas. And when you think about Christmas, you have to think about what is Christmas all about. It's about God coming to this planet as a baby in a manger so he could identify himself with you and me. And so he, as the Son of God, became the Son of Man so that we could become sons and daughters of God. What a wonderful plan God had for us. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now we live in a world where they want to take Christ out of Christmas. Instead of Merry Christmas, most of the cards that you would receive in the business world, they say things like Happy Holiday or Season Greetings. It's no longer politically correct to say Merry Christmas, but it is biblically correct, hallelujah, because Christmas is about Christ. And I thank God that we have a president, Donald J. Trump, that will stand on national television. And he has such a spine and such a daringness about him that in the face of all the opposition, he will say in America, it's going to be Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Go and give the Lord a clap offering of praise for a man like that. With against all the opposition, look at what he has done. But I'm so thankful that there's a man in our White House that has Judeo-Christian values. He may not be perfect, none of us are, but he stands for things that are right. He stands for biblical principles. And while the rest of the political world would try to tell us all types of things, oh, I could give you a list of what he's done. But thank God that we have a man like that tonight that will help the Christian church. And I'm afraid that most of the Christians don't realize what we have in that man and who put him there. This nation was in big trouble as a nation. Jesus said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But if we want it built in America, we better stand up for some biblical values And thank God that we have a man like Donald J. Trump that says, no longer, everybody says, we just want to talk about happy holidays. He said, no, it's going to be Merry Christmas. Say it with me. Merry Christmas. Say it again. Merry Christmas. Yeah, you got it. Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Christmas is about Christ. It's about God coming to this planet as a baby in a manger so he could identify himself with you and me. No one has ever understood our humanity as Jesus understands us. He left his splendors and glory and came to this earth. The Word was made flesh, John said, and dwelt among us. John said, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. Unto us who are human, God became human. Oh, that blows the religious world's mind. But he did. He's the God-man. God inside of man. Jesus Christ. Jesus, 100% man. Christ, 100% God. Put them together, you got Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God in the flesh. God condescended, and he left heaven's glory, and he came to earth's manger just to save you and me. That's the most important thing that you could ever know, that Jesus came to save us. And he had to identify himself with us to understand our sufferings and our pains and what we go through. I got a little story that illustrates this, and it tells about some geese. One snowy Christmas Eve, a mother was taking her children to a Christmas pageant there in their farm community. And she asked her husband to come and to go with them, but he refused. He said, that story about God coming in the flesh is just all nonsense. Why would God lower himself to come to earth as a man? Why, that's ridiculous, and it makes no sense at all. And so she and her children, they left, and he stayed at home. Later that evening, the winds grew stronger, and the snow, it turned into a blizzard. And as the man looked at the window, all he could see was a blinding snowstorm. He sat down to relax by the fire that evening. Then he heard a loud thump. Something had hit the window. Then another thump. And another thump. And he looked out, but he couldn't see any more than a few feet. When the snow let up a little, he ventured outside to see what had been beating on his window. And in the field near his house, he saw a flock of wild geese. Apparently, they had been flying south for the winter, but they got caught in that snowstorm. Now they were lost, and they were stranded on his farm with no food and with no shelter. They just flapped their wings and flew around the field in low circles, blinded and aimlessly. A couple of them had flown into his window, it seemed. The man felt sorry for these geese, and he wanted to help them. The barn would be a great place for them to stay, he thought. It's warm, it's safe, and surely they could spend the night there, and they could wait out the storm. So he walked over to the barn, he opened the door wide, and he watched and he waited, hoping that they would notice that the barn door was open and that they would go inside. But the geese, they just fluttered around aimlessly. They didn't seem to notice the barn or realize what it would mean for them. The man tried to get their attention, but that just seemed to scare them away, and they moved further and further away. He went into the house, and he came back with some bread. He broke it up. He made a breadcrumb trail leading to the barn. They still didn't catch on. Now he's getting frustrated. He got behind them. He tried to shoot them toward the barn. Nothing he did could get them to go into that barn where they would be safe and where they would be warm. Why don't they just follow me, he asked. Can't they see that the only place where they can survive the storm is in that barn? He thought for a moment, and he realized that they just would not follow a human. If only I were a goose, I could save them, he said out loud. Then he had an idea. He went into his barn. He got one of his own geese, and he carried it in his arms, and he circled behind the flock of wild geese. He then realized it, and the goose that he carried, it flew through the flock, straight into the barn, and one by one, the other geese followed it to safety. He stood silently for a moment as the words he had spoken minutes earlier replayed in his mind. If only I were a goose, I could save them. Then he thought about what he had said to his wife earlier. Why would God want to become like us? That's ridiculous. Suddenly, it all made sense. That's what God had done. We were like the wild geese. We were lost. We were blind. We were perishing. And God had his son become like us so he could show us the way and so he could save us. It was then that he realized the real meaning of Christmas. Suddenly he understood what Christmas was all about and why Christ had come. Years of doubt, years of unbelief, they suddenly vanished like the passing storm. And he fell to his knees and he prayed his first prayer. Thank you, God, for coming in human form to get me out of the storm. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to save me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Wash my sins away. Thank you, Lord. I am saved. You know, the Bible tells us, look at it, Galatians 4:4. But in the fullness of time, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law. That God walked down through 42 generations, and he had a plan to save us. And he came to redeem us so we could become the sons of God. God kept his promise, and Jesus was born as the baby in the manger. That is why Christmas is such a special time of year. Jesus came to redeem. He came to save. He came to make it possible for us to have eternal life. The Bible says he came to seek and save that which was lost. I want you to listen to the words of this beautiful poem. It's a love letter from Jesus. If you look for me at Christmas, you won't need a special star. I'm no longer in Bethlehem. I'm right there where you are. You may not be aware of me amid the celebration. You'll have to look beyond the stores and all the decorations. But if you'll take a moment from your list of things to do and listen to your heart, you'll find I'm waiting there just for you. You're the one I want to be with. You're the reason that I came. And you'll find me in the stillness as I'm whispering your name. Love, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. Jesus was born in a manger to die on a cross. And just before he went to the cross, he instituted the Lord's Supper that we call Holy Communion. And tonight we're going to celebrate Holy Communion. It commemorates his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and his soon return. Pastor Rick has been preaching about Christmas. I've been preaching about covenant. And I feel like the Holy Ghost has just been weaving all of this to give us an insight into how important Holy Communion is and the blood covenant that Jesus cut at Calvary. The Apostle Paul, look at 1 Corinthians 11:23. Here's a man that was born out of due season. Here's a man that sat at the feet of Gamaliel, an educated man, versed in the scriptures, but he was out killing Christians, thinking he was doing the right thing. But he received something from the Lord. He received eternal life. And then he received this. I love this. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received of the Lord that which I also I delivered unto you, that Jesus Christ, the same night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Think about the body, how it was broken. Your mind is a powerful thing that God has given to you. And with the mind, you can visualize. Jesus left these elements so we could visualize, so we'd have something tangible to understand spiritual principles and spiritual matters. So he talks about the bread, his body. And look at 1 Corinthians 11:25. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, or the New Covenant. That's what I've been preaching on. The New Covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you do eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Holy Communion is a memorial. It's a memorial of the new and the better covenant that we have with God through Jesus Christ. Christ died for us. We have salvation because of he came to us. And then he went to an old rugged cross. He was crucified. He was buried. And he rose again. And he ascended into heaven. Hallelujah. Put his blood on the mercy seat so that we who were born and conceived in sin and iniquity, we could have our sins washed as white as snow. Isaiah said, though your sins be red like crimson, he'll make them as white as wool, as white as snow. That's the power of the blood. That's the power of the blood covenant. He took that whipping. He was beaten beyond human recognition so that you and I, that we could be healed. He was nailed to the cross, and each drop of blood, the old songwriter said, brought me 1 million years. A soul was born each time he shed a tear. He loosed the chains that fettered you and me. He bought my soul through death at Calvary. What a wonderful Savior. What a masterful plan that God had. If the devils had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And think about it. The devil, after Jesus was crucified, he said, well, at least he's not on the planet anymore. He said, I don't have to put up with him anymore. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came in that little upper room. 120 people came out of that upper room filled with the Holy Ghost and fire of God. They looked like Jesus, talked like Jesus, doing the same works Jesus did. And the church was born. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. It came out of his riven side, just like Eve came out of the side of Adam. The church came out of Jesus' side. Hallelujah. And that Roman soldier stuck him through the side and blood and water come out. Praise God. The church came right out of his riven side. We're his body, and we're to be healed. We're to have joy unspeakable as full of glory because of what he did. He came to us, hallelujah. So Christ died for us. And the bread and the cup, these emblems, they represent his body and his blood. The first element, the bread, it speaks to us of our Lord's broken body. Think about it. Look at Isaiah 53:5. This chapter is known as the redemption chapter, but I love this verse right here. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. We can read it so quickly we miss it. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He says we are healed. Peter says we were healed. So something transpired at the cross. Isaiah, 700 years before the cross, he's looking toward the cross. Peter, he sees the resurrected Lord of glory, and he's looking back at the cross, and he says, look what he did for you and me. Hallelujah. And that's what Paul is telling us in his revelation, that, you know, his body, the pains he suffered in his body. His body was ripped apart, think about that, by a cat of nine tails, just to provide healing for you and me. What he endured. Oh, I got some pains in my body right now. Man, I got something going on with this leg. I turned that leg over. I'll tell you what, I pulled some tendons and stuff and had a crick in my neck yesterday. I'm about to work that thing out. But I've got a covenant. And praise God, I can be up here singing, praising God in church, or just walking around, and all of a sudden I'm healed. My daddy had a pain in his foot, and he walked and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. He said, one day, son, said, I was walking through the shopping center, and I realized I was healed. I tell you, it comes like that sometimes. But Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, and he has provided everything that we will ever need. So he was beaten and battered and bruised beyond human recognition, and God the Father watched every bit of that. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. See, that's in Holy Communion too, that he's coming again. He's coming for a glorious, triumphant, victorious church, a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. How could you ever get that clean? Because of the power of the blood. Hallelujah. We're not going on our righteousness. He has imputed to us, and he has made an impartation of his righteousness. He took our sin upon himself. He who knew no sin was made sin with our sin, so we could be made the very righteousness of God in him. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But what the law couldn't do, it was weak through the flesh. God sent his own Son and condemned sin in the flesh, that we could become righteous and we could stand before God. I don't call myself a sinner saved by grace. I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Glory to God, he took my place on the cross where he died. My sins to erase. I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved. I'm saved, praise God. I'm saved by grace. You're saved by grace. And we are the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And God planned it that way, because we were alienated and we were separated. And God said, I'm going to take your sins and nail them to the cross. He nailed it, praise God, so we could be free. Hallelujah. Woo! I tell you, I can get happy preaching on this stuff. Glory to God. He came to us. We couldn't go to where he was, the songwriter said. So he came to us. The second element, the cup. It represents the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. It's hard for me to separate the two, forgiveness of sins and healing. They let the man down through the roof at Capernaum, and the religious crowd, Jesus looked over and said, your sins are forgiven you. And the religious crowd said, you can't do that. Only God can do that. And Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, he perceived their thoughts. He said, whether's easier. He didn't say which is harder. He said, whether is easier to say your sins be forgiven you, or rise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man, he loved to call himself the Son of Man, that you may identified himself with us so he could feel us. The Bible says he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because there is one God and one mediator between God and man. That is the man Christ Jesus. He will always, forever, and eternity be identified with you and me. That's why he came. Hallelujah. To redeem us. He says, whether it's easier. You thought I forgot him, didn't you? He said, man, and at Capernaum. Whether it's easier to say your sins be forgiven you, to say to the lame, rise, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sin on earth. He said, I'm going to give you a demonstration. That's why this church is full of miracles, because we preach the whole gospel. People getting miracles. That you may know the Son of Man has power to forgive sin. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Every time a miracle happens in this place, every time someone gets healed, every time someone gets delivered, every time someone gets saved, a miracle takes place. Hallelujah. He's the miracle maker. This is a miracle meal. I better go on. I could stay on this thing a long time. Now, the cup speaks to us of our eternal salvation. Look at 1 Peter 1:18. Look at the latter part of that. Peter said, you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. Silver and gold, it could never buy this. It took heaven's greatest treasure to purchase our redemption. When I think about those things and I get alone and I meditate and I think about the price he paid for me, it makes me want to live better. It makes me want to draw a little closer. Yet I know that he welcomes me there, but I'm human. And the closer I get, the more flaws I see in myself. And that's just the way it is. And that's God's way of letting you and me know you will always be dependent on me, no matter how much you know me, how close you get to me. I'm God. There's none like me. You're my child, and I love you. But I want you to know something. You will always have problems. You'll always have tests. You'll always have trials. You're going to have some things you're going to go through. But I'm going to show you who I am. I'm the God, the El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Go on, praise him for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not redeemed with corruptible things. Look at verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Now, when we take Holy Communion, we normally only think about the cup that he offers us to drink. I saw this years ago. But Jesus also had a cup. And we read about his cup in John 18 and 11. I'm going to walk over here, Brother Baker, to the communion table. This cup represents the Lord's cup. And he said, the cup which my Father has given me, look at it, shall I not drink it? In other words, he looked into that cup and he saw what was going to happen to him. He saw all the suffering and all the pain. He was speaking of his cup that he would drink. And then there's another cup that he offers us. Look at what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:25. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament or the new covenant in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Think about it. Two cups. The Lord's cup and then the cup that he offers you and me. One cup, the cup I hold in his hand represents his cup. It's the cup of death. The other cup that we're going to partake of is the cup he offers to us. It's the cup of life. One is horrible. One is marvelous. His cup was a cup of bruising. The Bible says that it pleased the Father to bruise him. Yet he offers us a cup of healing. Christ's cup was a cup of sorrow. He offers us a cup of joy. His was the cup of the wrath and the anger of God. The Bible says it pleased the Father to bruise him. He has made his soul a sin offering for us. And now think about that scripture. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. That God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. That God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. Put Romans 8:32 up there, please, Sister Darnell. Romans 8:32. It's a powerful verse of scripture because it brings so many things together. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Well, how do we get all of these things? We get them through faith. Faith in the blood. Faith in God's word. Faith in the covenant, the new and better covenant that Jesus cut with his precious blood. Hallelujah. He offers us the cup of peace. His was a cup of God's anger. Think about that. He gives us the peace of God that passeth all understanding. His was a bitter cup, a cup of death. He offers us the sweet cup, the cup of eternal life. It's called Zoe, the godlike life that inside of you right now is resident God. The mystery God had hidden for ages, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I was thinking about and sharing with Brother Philip, the scriptures say, and without controversy, great are the mysteries of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in this world, received up unto glory. Paul says, it's no controversy that what we're talking about in the birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the soon coming of Christ, has not no way to say it's not a controversy. And then he begins to open up the mysteries. God was manifest in the flesh. He said, that's not a controversy that it's a mystery, but he says, let me reveal it to you. And that's what I'm seeking to do. That's why I preach Paul's revelation so much, because he looked into third heaven. God opened his eyes and gave him the revelation of what the church is. And then John the Beloved wrote the book of Revelation. God is so good to us. Hallelujah. But the cup that Christ gives, we drink it at his invitation. Think about it. It's a cup of blessing. It's a cup of fellowship. It's a cup of friendship. It's a cup of loyalty. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. It's a cup of peace. It's a cup of healing. It's a cup of joy. It's a cup of eternal life. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. A lot of times when we do Holy Communion, this is left out, and sometimes I leave it out, but I feel so impressed to do it tonight. Who should take the Lord's Supper? If you recall, Judas, he left just before the Lord passed the bread and the wine. He left the table. Therefore, the unregenerated person, those who have never been saved, they have no place at the Lord's table. If there's known sin in your life that's unrepented of, don't take the Lord's table until your sins have been confessed and washed away by the blood of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, this blood covenant is a powerful thing. If you get everything right with God and you give God all of you, then you can stand with tremendous confidence in the face of every storm and say, God, you cannot lie. This is your word. I'm your child, and I come from a blessing. Hallelujah. And just like that, you may not get it right away. You be persistent and you keep going. And guess what? It'll show up on your plate. Seed time harvest. So look at 1 Corinthians 11:27. This is the Apostle Paul. He said, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. That means that you're not living right. You've never been saved. Shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. See, it's judgment to those who take Holy Communion unworthily. But to us that are saved, it's a tremendous blessing. To those of us who are walking in the light, God says, I want you to do this in remembrance of what my Son has done. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:29. Paul said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Therefore, let each of us examine his own heart. Now, when we examine our heart, we need to get everything under the blood. We need to make sure. It's like the psalmist says, search me, O God, try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I'm going through this step by step because the Apostle Paul went through it. And Paul is saying, if you want the blessings of God, get everything in divine order. Get your life lined up with the light of God's word and walk in that light. God is such a good God. I love that scripture. His ain't going to do it but a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Maybe you're in that season of weeping right now. But God is speaking, and God is saying, I want to carry you into your certain season of joy. We're going into a new year, 2020. Wow. I remember when we were working on Y2K in the business world, trying to get all those computers straightened out. Think we're going to have a major computer crash. Well, here we are in 2020. My first message this coming year is going to be a sermon, 2020 Vision. Put John 20, verse 20 up, if you would, please. John 20, verse 20. The disciples, they're in hiding. Jesus has been crucified. And they're afraid of their lives, the Jews. And they go into the little upper room, and they're hiding. And Jesus comes, and he walked right through the wall. He said, peace be unto you. Aren't you glad he spoke peace to you? John 20, verse 20. I submit to you, 2020 Vision is seeing Jesus. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Aren't you glad that the scales fell from your eyes and you saw the Lord? And you've been born again. And now God invites you to his table to receive these elements that represent the blood that was shed and the body that was broken to provide total deliverance for you. Woo! I tell you, that's powerful. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:26. Lastly, I want you to remember, he's coming again. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as oft as you do eat this bread and drink this cup, look at this, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So he wants us to be watching. He wants us to be looking. He said, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We are the bride of Christ. God loves us more than we could ever imagine. And God has imparted his very nature to us. I go to the Lord many times like this. I say, God, I got covenant. I'm not like the rest of the world. I got problems like they got, but praise God, I don't have to bear my problems alone. I got covenant. I got blood covenant. Hallelujah. Have you ever talked to God like that? Somebody said, I'd be afraid to talk to God like that. Why? You take his word and you talk back to him and you want a one-way conversation. God, do this. God, do this. God, do this. God said, let me talk a little while. Open my book and read it. And then start declaring my promises. Hallelujah. He said, I wish God would speak to me the way you hear, say he speaks to you. Open the book and you'll find God talking to you. He'll let you know how much he loves you. He'll give you revelation. He'll give you understanding. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. At Romans 8:32, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. That includes you and me, all of us. Woo! Glory. It's important, church, that we go to Calvary often, remembering his benefits. And remembering he's coming again for us. That's the whole purpose of redemption. We were separated from God. God said, I love you. And I'm coming for you. And he talks to us and he loves us and he woos us. And I go out and sometimes my mind's on 1,000 other things. I'm so glad to be a part of a church where I can get refocused on the reason for this season that he came to us? Isaiah said, unto us a child was born. Unto us a son was given. Unto us who were alienated from God, he became just like us, without a sin nature, so he could offer the perfect sacrifice and pour out his precious blood and redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. What a God, what a Savior, what a plan. I want Brother Ray to come, Pastor Ricky. I want them to sing this song, He Was Wounded for Our Transgression. And I want the ushers to come and take the bread. There's some gloves there. They're going to hold it. We've got people assigned to do this, please, if you would come, if you've been assigned. And put the gloves on. I'm going to let Pastor Ricky, when they get that, I want you to go first. Because what we're going to do differently this time. I want you to visualize this continual beating of his body being broken for our healing. It's strange that he tells us to take the bread first, his body, and then he talks about the cup which redeemed us. Isn't that amazing that he gives it in that order? That he wants us to take the bread because he knew that our bodies would need healing. It almost seems like he put that before redemption, but he didn't. He just wants you to know, I care so much for you that I'm going to allow my body to be broken. That's the first element I want you to take. So, Brother Ricky, if you would hold that, please just pick up the bread, both of you. Pick up your loaf and come stand right here in the center. Please, just bring the bread over here. And Brother Ricky, I want you to reach out to one of those loaves and just tear the bread, realizing that's his broken body. And you're going back to your piano so you can play for us. And then I want us to come row by row. What I want you to do is every time a piece of this bread it's torn off his loaf.
Yes, praise God.
I want you to see his body. I want you to visualize it. I want you to feel a part of his pain. I want you to feel more than that. Yes. I want you to feel his love. I want you to feel his compassion. As I take this and break it, breaking part of his body. He gives us this element so we can internalize it. And also, he gives us the cup. He wants us to have something tangible. So, Sister Julia, if you would lead the way, please, and if you would go, and then the others here, if you would just take the bread and go back to your seat and hold it, and if you would come, we're going to come row by row. And I want you to see each person as they break this. And I want you to think about the continual beating while he was on that, at that whipping post before he goes to the cross to pay. You know, I just got something from the Lord. The reason he put the bread first is because he went to the whipping post and he paid for our healing. Then he goes to the cross and pays for our redemption. Wow. See, God has an order in everything he does. And if you ask him, he'll teach you, he'll show you. I've never seen that. Never had anybody preach that to me. Why the bread first? Because he went to the whipping post before he went to the cross. He said, I want you to know something. I'm a healer. I am your Jehovah Rapha. Every time someone takes that, Dr. Stanley, thank you, and Sister Evelyn for being here tonight with us to celebrate the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. Look at each piece that's being broken. He was wounded for our transgressions. Sing some of it, brother. He was bruised. Surely, no doubt about it. This element, it represents your broken body.
Yes, my Lord.
Well, we got people here that need healing. Holy Ghost, thank you for manifesting the word that I have preached. Bring glory to the Son and His redemptive work on the cross.
He was wounded.
Everybody have some bread now.
Surely
you want to go on and break you a little piece there. They're going to come through the audience. If you start up here with Pastor Ricky and up here, and they're going to distribute the cup.
His stripes we are healed. He was wounded for us.
I'm taking this time to do this
surely,
because He took time for us.
And by His stripes we are healed. On the cross, Jesus suffered, and He died, the giver of life was He.
Yes, He said, I want you to properly discern my body. If you can discern it properly, it's healing to you. We're not like the world, church. We are invited to this table. We are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. By one Spirit, we've all been baptized into Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, I pray that they may be one, Father, even as we are one, I and thou in me, that they may be one in us. I want you to visualize this picture, that you have God's omnipotence inside of you, that Christ is in you, the Holy Ghost, you're His temple. The Father has chosen to take up residence inside of you. Woo, the entire Godhead was involved in our redemption. That's the manner of love God has bestowed upon us. Oh, hallelujah. Two elements you should have. Does everyone have both elements now? Sister Julia Page, if you would come up, please. I'm going to ask her to pray over this as soon as I just give this declaration. Jesus said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do you in remembrance of me. Now, you probably got a big piece of bread there. So take your time, put it between your teeth, and start chewing on it. And as you're gnashing your teeth on that, I want you to think about his body being beaten, battered, and bruised. And then he invites us to come to the communion table. He said, eat all of it. Take a little while. I'm still chewing on mine. That's all right. It's his body. We're taking his body symbolically into our body. We're taking his healing into our body. Oh, my Lord. Sister Julia, would you pray and bless the people over the element of the bread?
Hallelujah, Father, we thank you. Oh, Lord, I've been shooting up a quarter of a shot. We thank you, Father. What an honor we have to stand before you tonight and partake of your broken body. We thank you, Jesus. We can never praise you enough. We can never thank you enough, Jesus, for the plan of salvation to come in this earth, to be beaten beyond recognition for the healing of our bodies. You said in your word that you were not recognized even as a human being. Your body became monstrous.
Yes, Lord.
As you took every sickness and every disease and every sin was placed in your body. That's the only way. That's the only way we can be blessed, because you took it. You bore it for
us. Glory.
It's not about us. It's about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And we thank you for it. So we receive it. We take it, Father. You said to receive from you, to take from you, to partake of your divine nature, to partake of you. 1 John 4:17 says, as you are, so are we. In this world, that's a powerful thing, Lord, to be like you, Lord, to partake of your body. We partake it. We thank you. We receive our healing tonight in the loving name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Sister Julia, will you make a declaration of faith to the people here that by the stripes of Jesus they're healed, and those watching by live stream?
Praise God.
Yes.
By the stripes of Jesus.
Glory.
Isaiah 53. The first thing Isaiah 53:1 says, he says, who believes my report? He's asking us a question right
yes.
there. It's up to us. What
yes.
we do here is whether we're going to believe he paid for what we need and receive it. He says, by his stripes we are healed. So receive your healing
yeah.
right now. Partake
Glory.
Of it. Receive it. Say, I take my healing. It's mine because I'm a child of the living God, and because of what Jesus did, I take my hand in the name of Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We worship you, God. We worship you, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so much. Jesus said it himself. He said, healing is the children's bread.
Children's bread.
So you can just look up and thank him, Lord. I'm your child, and I've taken the bread, and I'm healed. After the same manner, the Apostle Paul said he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. That I'm giving you a blood covenant. That everything I have belongs to you. That I'm making you an heir and a joint heir with me and all that my Father has. Hallelujah. Jesus said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Woo! This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. I want us to take the cup. I want us to drink it together. As we take this in to our body, we're going to get a blood transfusion. Hallelujah. Let us drink the cup of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the blood covenant. The blood covenant. The blood declares your victory. The blood declares that you're free.
Hallelujah.
Teresa, if you would, please go on and pray a blessing over the people because of the blood.
Father, we thank you for the privilege, Lord, to stand in your presence and to take this Holy Communion and these elements, Lord, what they represent. Father, the fruit of the vine represents your blood. It was shed for us, O God, for our healing, for our salvation, for everything that we need, O God. Life is in the blood, O God, and we recognize, Lord, that our life is in the blood of Jesus and what you did for us at Calvary, O God. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. We plead the blood of Jesus, O God, over our life, over our family, over our homes, over our church, over our nation, oh God. We plead the blood of Jesus. We know, God, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But, Lord, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world, Lord, where it's sin cursed, oh God. And we thank you that through the blood of Jesus and through your promises and through the covenant, oh God, that we have with you, Lord, as we stand as a child of God, that we are free from this sin-cursed world, and we thank you for it, oh God. I bless you, Lord, and I thank you for what you provided. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the name of Jesus, we just release God's blessing and praise him for his blessings upon you. Sing it, Brother Ray, on the cross. Glory, let's stand.
On
celebrate.
The cross, crucified.
Celebrate, Jesus. Glory.
Jesus suffered.
Let's worship him, church.
And he died.
He came to us.
He
glory.
Was a giver of life.
Hallelujah.
Was he.
Woo. Glory.
Yes, my Lord was despised and rejected of men. This Jesus of Calvary.
Think about it now, church. Glory.
Brother Nelson, I was thinking about Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Mm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Amen.
Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases.
Yes.
Praise God who renews our youth as the eagle.
Yes.
Satisfies our mouth with good things, you know.
Yes.
I believe that could be a top of the communion table right there.
Yes.
He satisfies our mouth with good things, yes. Which is the
which is the body
yes.
and the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God, and it renews our youth Amen. As the eagle.
I tell you, you get God. In the Holy Ghost filled service, you'll get new revelation
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Glory!
I believe it can mean that right there.
He was wounded for our transgression. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much.
He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely
I want you to reach across the aisle as he's singing. I want you to join hands. We got some new converts in here. And I want you to pray for one another. Reach across the aisle there. You can just make a chain of prayer. We're the body of Christ. We're the redeemed ones. We're not like the world. We got blood covenant.
Yes,
woo! Glory.
Blood of Jesus.
On the cross. Sing it, brother.
On the cross crucified.
Yes.
Jesus suffered.
Yes, Lord. Thank you so much.
And he died.
We love you, Master.
The
oh, God, we just thank you for manifesting your healing glory. We're redeemed, Lord. Give us a fresh revelation of the power of the blood covenant.
Yes, my Lord.
Oh, Lord, this is a Christmas time. Merry Christmas.
And
we celebrate, Father, the coming
Amen.
Of our Savior.
This
to provide this
Jesus
great salvation.
Of
Woo! Sing it with us, church. Glory.
Hallelujah.
He was wounded.
Let him hear your voice.
For our transgression.
Let the angels hear you sing it. Glory. Woo!
He was bruised for our iniquity.